السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's khutbah, and the topic is Reflections from Surah An-Najm. Alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah, who has revealed the noble Quran as a guidance for those who reflect, and who elevates those who reflect therein in accordance with what they understand and what they act upon. For in the Quran is both the allegory and admonition, and in it is the clear verses. And I bear witness with every facet of my being that there is nothing worthy of absolute love and adoration except Allah, the uniquely one, having no competing second in that oneness. And I bear witness that our leader and our master, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the perfected example of servanthood unto Allah, and was and is his sent messenger unto the entirety of the created universe. O Allah, we ask that you bestow your peace, blessings and grace upon him and upon his family, and all of his companions and whomsoever follows him in the best of ways till the last day. Amma ba'd. To continue, I advise you, dutiful servants of Allah and myself, to adhere to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for verily he says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الذين آمنوا قد أنزل الله إليكم ذكرا. So have taqwa of Allah, O you who understand, ulul albab, those who have believed, for indeed Allah has sent down to you the dhikra, which is the Quran. O Muslims, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us the dhikra, the Quran. And the reason why it's called a dhikra is because it's meant to spark something in us of remembrance, to spark something within us of that which we already know. And that sparking can only happen when we entertain and engage with the Quran at the level of minds and hearts. And that's why the Quran itself, time and time again, encourages and speaks to us and says, do you not make tadabbur, do you not reflect upon its ayat? And in this regards, every single chapter, every single surah of the Quran has specific goals and aims and specific meanings that we're meant to take from it. And we specifically want to focus on Surah An-Najm in this khutbah, because this is from the chapters that we should really be reflecting upon, because it was from the very first chapters, or in fact it was the very first chapter, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited out aloud in Mecca. And in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by swearing, وَالنَّجْمِ, by swearing by the stars. And this way of swearing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or taking an oath, is for the purpose of emphasis, to illustrate the importance of the message that comes after the oath. And in this regards, the message is to emphasize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is upon rightful guidance, and that he in turn is guiding people to that way of guidance, that way of huda. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. It says Allah swears by the star when it descends. It says your sahib, your companion, the Prophet ﷺ, has not gone astray. وَمَا غَوَى, and this is not a mistake. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, he's not speaking from his hawa, his own desires, because whatever comes to him is like wahyun yuha, is like revelation that's given to him. And this is why the Quran is basically starting off in Surah An-Najm to make tasdeeq, to say that you believe in him. And it points to the example of the stars, because his guidance is like the nature of a star, or stars in the darkness of a night, whereby what? We are guided bin nujum or bin najm, people are guided. And so it is through the anbiya and the rusul, through the prophets and the messengers, that in the dhulm of jahiliyyah, in the darkness of ignorance, that their guidance, their huda, is a form of a light that points us to the right way, to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rida. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Surah An-Najm continues, it speaks about his own great journey, his great night journey, the Isra wal Mi'raj, the great ascension that he takes unto the heavens. And we're specifically focusing on the Mi'raj here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at that point that as he goes up and up and up, then he reaches and he sees in this great journey, he sees in it great signs from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell him about his qudra, his creative capacity and his ability. And so from this he sees the great signs of Jannah and the great signs of everything that has been foretold with regards to the sins. And then he meets all the great anbiya, all of the great prophets, and from them he met Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he met Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam, he met Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, he met Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he met Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam, he met Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, he met Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he met Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and alayhim salawatullahi ajma'een. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's may peace and blessings be upon all of them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets all of these prophets at various levels, and then he says amongst all of them it was Sayyidina Ibrahim who most resembled him inwardly and outwardly. And at that point he also sees what's known as the Bayt al-Ma'mur, this house that's been commanded that the angels are continuously making tawaf around, and it's said that 70,000 angels enter into it daily and then they come out, they never return to it again. In other words, it refers to the prolific nature of how many angels are coming there, and it's a place of barakah and light, celestial light. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeing Jannah and he's seeing Nar, and then he rises and rises until he reaches the highest point, the point at which Sayyidina Jibreel himself says he cannot go any further. And then about this point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةٌ أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى. And he says that at that point he sees Jibreel in his original nature, an original nature, and this was a tremendous vision. And then he sees the Sidrat al-Muntaha, which is literally translated as the lote tree of the utmost boundary. Muntaha, there's nothing beyond it. And the lote tree obviously was a physical creation. This was something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seeing physically. This was a tree who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that its leaves were like the ears of elephants, and its fruits were like big earthenware vessels or clay vessels. And this is just an ishara as well as a reality of the immensity of the size of this Sidrat al-Muntaha, of this great tree, but rather it's also a pointer to the immensity of what lies beyond. And in this regards, at this point, the ulama say that the Sidrat al-Muntaha is also a marker of the limitations of what can be expressed rationally. It is the point where no human being has been gone beyond, and no human being has been entered into that presence except Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why he's Mustafa, the chosen one. That's why he's Mujtaba, the one who's been given that maqam. And so when he enters into that state, this is where rational talk and rational understanding falls short. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply says إِذْ يَغْشَ سِدْرَةَ مَا يَغْشَ, that the sidra covers whatsoever it covers, because it cannot be described. And obviously there are elsewhere the Quran talking about this great journey says لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبَرَى, that he saw from the greatest signs of his Lord. And there is ikhtilaf as to what this sign was, what was this greatest of the signs of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw. But what's important for us is that when he returned on that journey And he described what he saw, that it was a place where the Sahaba themselves rejoiced, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr was of those who made tasdeeq. He said, I believe that revelation comes to him on a regular basis. Why should it be difficult to believe that he was raised up to the heavens or traveled within a night to Masjid al-Aqsa? And we have to understand, brothers and sisters, that this Surah An-Najm, as well as having this great description of this great event of the Mi'raj, also is a pointer to our own Mi'raj, because it was a point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the gift of the Salah. And this is from the greatest of gifts. And the mention of this incident is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to that divine presence, then he's given the gift of salah. And the initial narration says that the gift was given of 50 prayers. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon descending, encounters Sayyidina Musa, and then a dialogue ensues. And then he goes back to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for this to be limited, to be reduced in number, until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the word has been decreed, and this will be 5 prayers, but 5 prayers as if they were 50, because they will have through the reward of 10 the like of it. And this is how it has been decreed in the Umm al-Kitab. And what this is saying is every affair is decreed in this great Umm al-Kitab. Literally is like this book that contains the heavenly book that contains every single affair that shall come to pass. And from that affair is this great affair of the Salah. And so it is 5 in number and practice, but 50 in magnitude and reward. And this was from the great gifts. And so there is no coincidence that Surah An-Najm ends with what? With the sajda. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in it various ethics and various virtues, he mentions that وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, that human beings have nothing except for that which they strive. وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى, and then the effort is going to be seen. And ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى, and then they will be recompensed for what is in the fullest recompense. So this idea of this sayyid, this traveling and this striving for Allah, this sa'i, this striving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this state of belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us. And then right at the end, the surah ends by saying فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَاعْبُدُوا, and prostrate to Allah and worship Him. And the ulama say that this sajda is very apt, especially in the Surah An-Najm. Why? Because just this surah is touching upon the Mi'raj, and there was a great intimate disclosure that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced in the epitome of that journey. Then so it is that our prayer that came through as a gift from that journey also has this right point, when the point that we're in sajda is the point in which we are in the presence and in this sacred proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the closest a slave is to his Lord is in that state of sajda. And what is that state of sajda? It's a flattening of the ego. It's a flattening of the mind, and that egoic mind and the sense of me, and it's a raising of the heart while attesting to the transcendent glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this state is what brings about proximity, because He was never distant. Huwa aqrabu ilayk, He's closer to you than the hablil warid, than the waridatani, the two jugular veins, or the two veins that supply your blood to your brains. And if that was to ever be cut, you don't exist. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that His existence is prior to yours, and that you exist constantly through His creative fiat or His creative act, and He can never be distant from you. And what veils you from that proximity is your being occupied and your being with your own egoic life. And so when we give sajda, when we enter into that, we let go for that for a second. And so this is how we enter into our proximity to Allah. It's as if the salah is the mi'raj. The salah is as the heavenly traveling towards Allah. And the sajda is that point of proximity beyond the Sidrat al-Muntaha. And wallah, this is, Allah knows best. These are just mithal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to enter into our own spiritual journeys that end with a proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein we are removed from our own selfish egos. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complete for us our spiritual journeys. And so through this, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to bestow upon us from His vast bounty and generous kindness the ability to become like one body in this regards, to purify our souls, to make us real human beings, those devoted to Him. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who are devoutly obedient to Him, to enable us to be of service to the way of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be in obedience and service of those He's ordered us to be in obedience to. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you, so invoke Him for forgiveness, for He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. And with this comes to an end this week's khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This week's khutbah was brought to you by Idha'atul Quran, Abu Dhabi.